and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us this morning. Appreciate all of your feedback and your contribution to the program via text, Twitter, or through the phone. We've had Gil McLaughlin and Dan Richardson, so it's been a very busy morning. Looking forward to this weekend, Wisp. The big appeal is on Saturday. It is the Women's Combank Tri-Series T20 against India. Then it's the Bushfire Cricket Bash, and then it's the Big Bash League Final at the SCG. They are three games that stand up on their own. Slap bang in the middle is the one that interests me most, although I'm interested in all. The Bushfire Cricket Bash will be an absolute beauty. Some of the biggest names in Australian sport and cricket particularly will come out and dust the cobwebs off. And the Australian captain, who's been doing some very nice work with your network. Is it your network?
My word, he is.
And the Big Bash.
Excellent.
Will be part of the coaching setup with Warney's 11 for the Bushfire Cricket Match. And that is the captain of the Australian cricket team, Tim Payne. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning, man. How are we?
Well, we're going very nicely. Have you enjoyed your little stint in the commentary box?
Yeah, but it's been different. I'd say I'm starting to enjoy it. I've sort of explained to people, I felt like the first few, when I was in the box, it felt like I was the next batter in. I had that sort of nervous energy. And as you guys probably know, it's something the more you do, I think the more comfortable you feel in front of. So, yeah, it's been interesting.
Hopefully not too comfortable. You've still got a couple of years ahead of you.
Plenty of time. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Were you intimidated by the punter or were you intimidated by James Brayshaw?
Well, not brief.
Honestly, probably was JB at the start because I've known Rick for quite some time. So JB was in my first game. I didn't really know him apart from his role on the footy show and in the media. And he's quite a loud fella, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he's not shy. No.
He's not shy.
No. But no, he's been great. I've certainly enjoyed working with all of them, but JB in particular.
Hey, what can you tell us about this Warn 11 that's been put together? You're not donning the whites or the crew, or not sure what colour.
No, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, actually, because I know Warnie over the years has been a bit critical of having coaches. So
that's true. Yeah.
Since I've been put on his side, I reckon I've won the lottery. I think I'm just going to be there watching the game and rubbing shoulders with some of the greats of as you said, Australian sport and some cricket royalty. So, weather permitting, hopefully, we get away and I think it'll be a great spectacle and it's obviously for a great cause. So, everyone's really looking forward to it.
Hey, just a quick one, then I'm handing over to Tim, who's got some very incisive questioning for you. But over the Big Bash, we saw a charity match over in England where Brett Lee came in and bowled half a beanball that happened to hit Warnie break his hand, which I don't reckon would have impressed the great man too much. What is the general attitude and accepted form of play in these games?
Oh, it's a good question, I reckon, because I was the same. I played in an All-Star game years ago, which was and I faced Dirk Nannis and broke my finger quite badly.
Oh, jeez.
Warnie got a beamer. I think that one was a bit more serious. That was the MCC versus the World 11. So the cricket was an important part of it. I think this one's a little bit more lighthearted. I think there's times when you'll probably see someone like Brett get off the long run and let a few go. I did see he was in the nets last week having a bowl. So, I think they're all competitive, proud men and women. So I would expect at times it'll be game on, particularly between some of the old teammates.
Hey, Tim, in that locker room or in that dressing room, who is it that you would love to just sidle up to and chew on their ear for a while and have a conversation with? There's going to be some cricketing stars there.
Yeah, there is. It's probably either Brian or Sachin, two guys I haven't spent a lot of time with. I mean, we're lucky in Australia, particularly in my era, we've got so many legends that we're able to access and talk to, and now even more so since we've had sort of Darren Lehman and Justin Langer as coach, to have the Aussie greats always in and around our rooms. But yeah, I think to pick the brain of a Sachin Tendulkar or a Brian Lara is going to be something that's high on my priority list.
Well, looking at the squads, Gilchrist, we've got Brad Haddin, Brett Lee.
Couple of footballers too, I think.
Well, that's what
Hodge
I'm getting to.
Riewoldt.
Having played and lucky enough to play in something like this, Riewoldt and Hodge, they would be like kids in a candy store, both great sports nuts and really good cricketers. But I tell you what, they've both got a nice strut about them and good confidence, but they'll be just quiet little boys in that dressing room.
You reckon? I don't know if they will.
No, they will.
The
trust
boys me. Are normally a bit louder. I've actually seen Hodgie play. He was pretty good. I played in a Ponting charity game with him and he hit the ball pretty hard and bowled reasonably. And I think I saw a little bit of footage of Nick just last week. I'm not sure what game that was.
He thinks he's a quick.
Like he was off the long run with the left arm looked like Mitchell Starc.
That's right.
Bowling a bit slower.
He thinks he's a quick. I'm not sure how quick he is, but they both are cricket nuts. So, and Yuvraj Singh, what about him? This is a man that hit six sixes.
Yes, big Yuvie. He was actually captain of mine in an IPL year over at the Pune Warriors. He's a great man. He enjoys... He enjoys a bit of time off the field as well, so I think he'll add a bit of colour to the after party, along with Warnie. Not that he'll need too much
encouragement.
But it'll be some good stories told post game, I'm sure.
Talking to Australian cricket captain Tim Payne. Now, you just mentioned before in passing about breaking a finger. I've been told that you actually had to, with the finger injury that you sustained, you've actually had to remodel the bat handle. Is that correct?
I've had to remodel my gloves, definitely, and I've had to sort of change the way I hold the bat, which took me a couple of years because I was battling away there for a while. I couldn't buy a run, but it seems to have come good in the last few years, and I've got a good extended run at cricket, which has been great fun. But it wasn't much fun at the time. I got a nasty one, and it took me a good part of 2 years actually just to recover and be playing again. So hence why I think I'm enjoying it so much at the moment.
Tim, I've done a lot of research for this interview. I believe that now you have faced some great Indian and Pakistan spinners, including Harbhajan and Akmal on the subcontinent. Explain, though, why you've never been able to pick your grandfather's Albert Shaw's arm ball in the backyard. Why is that?
Well, I think it was the tennis ball. You couldn't pick the revs on it. And I think he knew the wicket better than most of us as well, so he knew what spots to hit. He'd clearly spent hours out there rolling the arm over when we weren't there. So I think it was just a bit of home ground knowledge for Alb, and he used to exploit it better than most.
And is it true that when you were touring England, you went to the people at Lord's and asked that they include the cornflake biscuits on the menu for afternoon tea, and you gave them the recipe of your Nan Shaw? Is that right?
No, well, I think my brother actually has them all the time now. I'm getting a bit older. Nan puts a bit too much sugar in, though, so I've had to lay off the cornflake biscuits for the last few years while I'm trying to look after myself. But, geez, I'll tell you what, if you never get your hands on Nan Shaw's cornflakes biscuits, I'd recommend it.
Did you used to sit in the car and just hoe into those and with Nan during the cricket? Is that right?
Yeah, certainly did. Nan used to come down. Well, I reckon Nan's up until recently, when she hasn't been as mobile, she's now 92, she used to come to every game of cricket that I've played, I reckon, and she used to bring lunch on most days, so save a few dollars. Most of our teammates will tell you that I'm pretty fond of keeping my money in my wallet. Instead of going into the canteen, I'd run up to the car park where Nan was parked and eat her out of house and home. So I think she enjoyed it as well, though.
Hey, you're a bit careful with the coins, are you, Tim?
Oh, apparently so. I don't feel I am. I think it's grown from when I was a young fella in Tasmania, because we had the tightest man of all time in our team. It's a guy called Michael Dighton.
Right.
And I think because I was the youngest, he just started to deflect it off to me, and then it's kind of just stuck with me as I've gone up. So, doesn't sit that well with me.
I work with her tidy, so it doesn't. Hey, Tim's mentioned your Nan. So your family had to wait a while for you to get that debut with the Australian team, and you've been one of the great success stories. It's been every person that's close to the cricket fraternity just straight away says the Payne influence on this team since that South Africa saga has been pronounced. And then we hear, Alex Carey's an up-and-coming keeper, and all these, and Josh Phillippe, all these guys, we need to get him. I don't reckon that would be the attitude. It's certainly not of the Ian Healy's of the world, and I reckon you would share the same. They have to earn it. It's not their rite of passage. So do you sort of covet that wicket-keeping position closely?
Oh, absolutely, I do. Yeah, that's... I think all wicketkeepers do their position. It's a difficult one. I think, particularly being a wicketkeeper, it's about being in form at the right time. So I know I used to find it really hard when people were saying when I was young, when I was the next one, I was the next one. When I knew Brad hadn't had 3-4 years left.
Yeah.
That's a difficult thing with wicketkeeping. It's being the next one at the right time. So. It's not a great position for those guys to be in either, I must admit, but there certainly for me it's about continuing to play as well as I possibly can for as long as I can. I love the job that I've got at the moment, and I've said a few times, while I continue to be enjoying it as much as I am right now, that I'm going to try and do it for as long as I possibly can.
Is leadership, in your mind, a lonely place, Tim? Often leaders talk about this.
Yes and no. I mean, I think first time when I was younger in Tasmania, I almost kind of isolated myself because I thought that was what you did. I think this time around, how the captaincy and the leadership's sort of been put on me, I've just tried to be as normal and relaxed as I possibly can. I don't try and make too big a deal out of it or, you know, put myself ahead or above anyone. I just try and mingle in as I normally would. Obviously, there's some different responsibilities and that are attached to it now. But for me, it's about, as I said, just trying to be myself as much as I possibly can. And I find when I'm doing that, then that's when I lead at my best. But I'm someone who likes to be around the boys, likes to be involved. You know, if there's something going on in the team room or if we're having a kick of the footy after training or going for coffees or dinners or breakfast, I like to be around my teammates. I think that's the best way to do it, the best way to build good relationships with them. So I've continued to do that.
With Australian Test captain Tim Payne, just a couple of quick ones and we'll let you go, Tim. We really appreciate you joining us. The T20 and one day squad was announced yesterday for South Africa. Were you surprised that there was no Marcus Stoinis?
Not really, no. I think that they've made no secret of the fact that they're looking for, I think their top three or four are pretty well set. They've got some of the best players in the world in those positions. So I think they're looking for guys that can and will bat 4, 5, 6 and 7. And I think that's something that Marcus is going to have to do at some stage. I mean, his big bash, there's no doubt, has been absolutely phenomenal. He has been for a long time. And if he was to be playing international cricket, I've got no doubt that that Stoin would do really well, particularly the form he's in at the moment. But as I said, I think if he was to bat down the order and show that sort of flexibility, I think he'd be straight into those squads.
And you don't play the short form, of course. So you'll finish. You played some district cricket down there in Tassie, which would have been a little walk down memory lane. But what about the winter? Do you sit down now and just get involved with a bit of footy?
Yeah, I think so. I'll wait and see what happens in the next. I've got sort of 4 Shield games to go, and then I haven't thought too much about the winter. It'll be either be probably going over to England and playing a bit of cricket, but if not, I'm plan B is to sort of just stay at home and probably spend some weekends in Melbourne watching some footy and having a few quiet beers and relaxing for a month or two and then getting back into it before we go to Bangladesh in June.
Indeed. And then the Indians and the English over the next 2 years, the big summers. Yeah. Hopefully you're involved with those. Hey, we love talking to you. We love what you've done for the Australian cricket team. It is back. It just lost its way a bit in terms of the public love, but it's back in a big way. And it was a great summer. And we'll be tuned in on the weekend for the Bushfire Cricket Bash. So appreciate you jumping on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Tim Payne there. And there'll be multiple ways to contribute, I would imagine. The big appeal it is this Saturday. I'll give you details of a function we've got here in Melbourne to support the bushfire that the boys at Fox Footy are doing. I'll give you some of those details after 8:30 as well.